And welcome to the 13th episode of the SCP Black Files podcast. I'm your host, the Administrator, and with me is my party, Bad Rhino, Husky Wolf, and Fisherman Murray. This week we're recording episode 13, Into the Unknown. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for coming up to tonight's session. I think it's time for us to get started, though, after a short recap of last session's events. Following the party's delving deeper into this library, they have come across an odd assortment of creatures of one sort or another who decided to assist the party. Amongst them is Grognak the Librarian, and a few others.
Okay.
They are
He really does sound like Grognak the Barbarian from Fallout, like the magazines, but...
I do believe I was still in the back of the room with my rifle up. I think I'm just now starting to...
Actually, we come in an action moment.
I'm just
now
starting.
Where Norik is getting a needle jammed directly into his leg.
Okay, it was Zorf who did that, right?
Yes. Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, so just so I can get this covered in my head right, you said that one of his appendages transformed into this blade, which he then stabbed into my leg?
It's not a blade, it's a needle, so, but otherwise, yes.
Yeah, and you were just cool with it.
No, he didn't have time to react, let's be very specific.
So do I have time to react now?
Yes, you probably... The needle is in you, but yes, you probably have time to react.
Not paralyzed. Okay.
So tell me about the feelings I feel whenever this needle penetrates my... Where in my leg does it jab? My knee? My calf? Where does it penetrate, and how does it feel?
4 inches above your right kneecap. And as you've not been able to feel your legs for about the past... Since Mr. Taylor gave you medical assistance, you aren't feeling anything.
Okay, so I guess because I'm not feeling anything, I don't have it. I guess I'm not going to have an immediate, like, jolt or anything because I don't feel it. I look down at his arm needle going through my leg. I look up and lock eye. Did you say that they only have one eye? Isn't that what you said last session?
Yes, one central eye.
I lock eye with him, and I look back down, and I'm like, I think that,
Hold.
I think before, like, Norik is starting to protest, I'm getting closer, at least, with my rifle still out, asking him what the hell he's doing. Like, what are you doing? You just stabbed him.
And then you see, as you start to make that comment, the needle retracts.
I go to Norik and try to start packing whatever wound is there now.
So you come up to his leg. You see there was about a tiny little pinprick hole in his pant leg. This is a thin, long needle that was stabbed into his leg. Finger needle.
Hmm.
That's not important. It was jammed directly into his leg through his pant leg.
What did you stick him with?
Medical aid.
May I ask a question? Is your, like, blood medicine or something? Like, where is this medicine coming from? I don't like that.
I think Craig is just sitting there staring at the dude with one eye and needle arms and is just speechless.
This is, so...
Friend, I think it is best to let the medicine do its work.
Oh.
You should be all good to walk in a couple of hours.
Wait, a couple hours?
At most.
I'm sorry, his leg was completely... broken, and he made it a lot worse. Are you sure? You haven't even
heard of modern medicine.
I look at Craig, and I say, "Well, you know, the weird thing said so, you know, it has to be true. I mean, just look at him. He looks like a man of
He's
science.
He's a trustworthy guy.
That's one. Wait, it's a lot of science.
Sorry. Did you just say a trustworthy eye?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm just gonna keep focused on Norik and this man with one eye, and I'm gonna kind of be in between them, but I wouldn't. I'm like not even defending Norik. I'm just kind of standing in between them, like looking at what's happening, because I feel like I should have to do something, but everything seems fine.
So I can't remember what's the main guy's name. Is it Grognak or?
It's Grognak, the librarian, and Zorku, the mech.
So I walk up to Grognak, and I pull out my little notepad, notebook, whatever I have for my journal, and I pull out my pencil. I'm like, could you help us find the exit to this library?
Exit? Yes. No, I cannot. I can assist you in maneuvering through the library, but I cannot assist you in finding the exit.
Another follow-up question, then. What's with the man-eating books and the Hand of Stone?
Occupational way to get...
What is this place?
I'm assuming stay away from the Hand of Stone.
What is this place? It's a library.
Okay. Why didn't we know this was here?
Well, we never went into it. To be fair,
there's just a village of people, things living down here. I'm sorry, but
so I want to pan to Zorfu, who leans over to Norik. They're not very bright now, are they?
I look back at Zorfu and say, yes, most people, they don't seem to accept reality very well. Whenever it doesn't fit their narrative, you know, close-minded folk.
I could see that.
Reality. I've lived...
I'm pretty good.
...my entire life without any of this. I feel like this is a fever dream. Someone wake me up.
You know, I feel like out of all the time I've known you, Craig, you would have, like, I don't know, just been able to tell... That, just from the work that I've told you about, that there's more to reality than just what you accept through your normal perceptions.
Okay, roll intelligence.
Okay.
I just want to point out that we actually never talked about your occupation. You kind of were just, you're just kind of thrown into there. I've never heard about it.
We call him Spook. But, we haven't for a while, but he's, you know, the... paranormal investigator.
Gotcha.
Ugh.
I'm just happy to be here. Like this is just, you know, a jolly old time. I do want to leave.
You honestly don't remember any stories that Norik has mentioned of his old career.
Yeah, I don't remember a single one, because I don't think he's told me one.
Do I still remember that he's a paranormal investigator?
Oh, no, you do remember that, just you don't remember any stories that he is speaking of.
Yeah. I'm still just stunned, and I'm like... I get there's things that people don't know, but this is insane.
So you said... y'all are humans, right?
Yes.
You're not?
I
could have figured that. I shouldn't have even asked.
Leans back over to Mark. He's a special one, isn't he?
I say, well, he's... I'd say this is the average reaction the normal person would have to seeing this. I have reason to believe they'll get used to it.
Interesting. So
humans need a trained mind for these sort of things.
There's an encampment about 3 hours out from here. Might be able to help. Yeah.
Is he free to walk on his leg while the medicine takes to work?
No reason to rush it. Rest, okay. Eat, sleep.
I look over at at Craig and... I'm sorry, I'm just trying to remember. Reiner's character's name is Duke, right? Duke Riker?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I look over at Craig and Duke. Okay, so if I need to rest, which one of you wants to carry me?
You guys have a bed?
Yes.
Could you take him?
He's currently on a bed.
Oh, okay, then.
You look at him. He seems to be on a very comfortable mattress. Not like...
His special fancy, comments like, getting, like, very, very concrete.
I don't know, Norik. It looks like you're pretty comfortable there already.
Yes, but are you sure you want to leave me behind? I mean, you had this huge panic over seeing people with one eye, you know?
What
if you see something that...
pretty comfortable here.
I'm just saying, what if you see something that affects you a little bit more personally? You may need someone for moral support, you know?
Could I suggest you all stay here for a couple hours? Then get back on the move when he's healed.
What do you think, Taylor?
No reason not to.
It seems reasonably safe here, so...
I'd suggest sticking around. Maybe we can stay for a couple hours. At this point, you see Taylor kind of steps off to the side and starts talking to one of the other entities in the room. I'm not quite sure what to call them. Creatures, monsters, entities, whatever you... have you?
Could I ask one what their race is?
I don't see a reason why you couldn't ask the question.
I'm just saying that's what I wanted to do.
Ah, alright. We're us. Simple as that.
Gotcha.
Us are we as we are one.
Very meta, very deep.
As I'm sitting on this bed, I look over at Zorthu. Say, you said that Grobnok, he's a librarian, right?
Yes.
I want to ask him about something. Do you think he has a free moment?
Mm-hmm. You know this man?
Right? Great. Grobnak kind of just walks on over.
Perhaps you could help me. I'm looking for, I guess, knowledge, and you're a librarian, so I was wondering if I could seek your wisdom.
What you need?
Well, it's more... I'm trying to, to look for the cause of something. You see, one night I went to sleep, right? And the next morning I woke up, my fingers were shorter, right? I hold up my hands and show them that it looks like the top of most of my fingers have been chopped off. Look at him, and I'm like, I have no clue how this happened. And I woke up in no pain or anything.
You see him whip out this small gray text, maybe 8 inches in height, and maybe 6 inches in width. Start fanning through it. Looks at something. No.
Damn it. Oh well. I figured I'd ask anyway. Looks like I gotta keep looking. Thank you.
Could be you had issue with a hacksaw.
Yes, but I think I would have remembered messing around with one of those.
Or you have a really bad chewing on your fingernail problem.
I say, well, there's it's on each finger, the exact amount of length was taken off each one. It's very specific, unless someone took a damn ruler to each of my fingers.
Could be you had a circular saw instead.
That could be it.
Just one clean motion. All your fingers.
Are you into woodworking?
No, I've never... I don't remember ever touching a damn saw in my life.
It does seem like you have your fingertips.
As these conversations continue, I'm going to slowly pan out over the small escarpment you're in to the next, until as you see the hours pass.
I would be very much paying attention to Norik and sort of poking and prodding at him every like 20 minutes or so, just to see how much better he's got. Because I'm really curious.
Hey, if possible, I'd like to know how my legs are faring myself.
We'll talk about that as we come. So you finish maybe 7 or 8 hours later. You guys have gotten maybe 3 or 4 hours of rest, some eating, relaxation time.
Okay.
And you see Zorfu come over, lift up his hand, and just wham! Slam it down. Roll me a constitution it is a constitution is what I'm looking for.
Is that endurance, actually?
Yes, let's say endurance.
Okay, endurance. Okay. Let's see. Oh, shoot.
And then was that for all of us?
I rolled a 17.6.
17.6? Wham! Shooting pain across your leg. Kind of taps up and down it real quick. I should note, you do not react, you don't scream, yelp, or anything. But the hand slams down, you feel pain shoot up and down your leg.
Ow!
He leans in close. You feel that?
Yes, that hurts a lot.
He's good. Stand up.
I get up. How do my legs feel?
They're not in pain anymore as you stand up.
Are they still numb from Taylor's treatment?
They're no longer feeling numb. So no, it doesn't seem like Taylor's treatment's on anymore.
I like the interaction where he just basically punches his leg and he's like, does that hurt? Yeah, a lot. He's good now.
So I guess I look at Craig and I'm like standing on my legs, putting my feet up and down, just practicing walking, remembering how I used to do it just a couple hours ago. Like, this is great. I feel ready to take on the world, or at least another two-story building.
I assume that Norik was not doing this well, like, 30 seconds ago. And so I'm just sitting there stunned, because I think at this point I was convinced that, like, whatever he injected Norik with is helping, obviously, but...
To be fair, this was 8 hours ago that he did that.
I think they said...
No, there was a very clean line. No, it was about 8 hours. It's been about 8 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got about 3 to 4 hours of sleep in. And yes, this seems so very clear. There's just a point in time. Bad before, good after. No long-term healing, none of that. It's just... Snap.
The rainbow of all the varieties of colors of bruises on his legs are gone.
It looks like they just gave him new legs.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a pretty apt comparison.
Okay.
Now that your friend's leg is healed, I'd suggest we get home.
Couldn't agree more. I stand up, grab my bag.
So there's a small human escarpment about 3 hours out.
Oh,
we should be.
Because we rested, do I get my exertion points or my any HP back?
Let's say yes. Roll. I think it's 1d4. Since let's just keep it simple. Let's say roll 1d4 HP plus 2. For any of you that have taken damage.
Oh, so I don't roll like my health or anything. I just roll a d4 and add 2.
It's not the exact rules, but for this case, it's simple and clean enough.
Okay. 1, of course.
1 plus 2, so 3 health points back.
Yeah, just my luck.
Nork just kept wiggling his leg.
I only needed 1 HP,
so.
Pardon?
Nork just kept wiggling his leg while he was resting to see if it would get better.
So, right. How many travelers have you seen come through these parts?
We aren't always here ourselves. We usually like a roving band of we're like a roving band of gypsies. So these parts?
Wait, you moved
20, 30.
The library.
No, we move around the library.
I mean, they have like a campsite. It's not like they have a whole little village, so.
I'm sorry, do you see what we were just walking through? There's about a million books in here.
Mm-hmm.
How do you move?
The library doesn't move. They do.
The library is stationary. The library is massive.
How massive?
There's always more. Interesting question. We aren't sure ourselves.
How long have you been here?
We've traveled. Our race itself.
Sure. We'll start there.
Less than a clue on that one. Our generation? 200 years?
You've been alive 200 years.
About that.
Okay.
It's rude to ask a man his age.
But never mind this. Let's see what we can... Let's get you all outfitted.
Craig is still getting his stuff together, but back into the state of, like, what's going on.
I'll check out with you all. Then we can get this whole journey sorted for you. So, as you start to pack up, I think it's time to call us to our first break of the episode. Thank you all for listening to this first half of the SCP Black Files podcast. We'll be right back in just a moment. And welcome back to the second half of this episode of the SCP Black Files podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We come to the party as they're progressing down a small tunnel comprised of double-stacked shelves of books that seem to almost be teetering back and forth. Can everyone quick make me an acrobat? Let's say an athletics roll.
Athletics.
Okay.
Dexterity. Dexterity, for those who don't know.
That's a crit.
Oh my god. That wasn't a good number.
Was it a one?
That was a
10.3.
Jeez, my...
Two total?
My new legs are just amazing. 20.8.
Mm-hmm.
We're feeling like a new man.
Ooh.
10.3.
18.6.
So as you're walking through this teetering section, you see... Grognak stop, and as he stops, a shelf topples over, landing across the pathway, and all of you manage to just barely, like, push out of the way or jump back and avoid this falling shelf.
Jesus.
The area around here is a bit topsy-turvy.
Damn.
So if you see just up ahead, there's that staircase. It's gonna go upwards and above us. He points directly upwards where you see a staircase that is pointing towards the roof.
Okay.
But it's like the stairs almost like a loop-de-loop, but it just does the upwards portion. And the stairs just go up the wall into the roof.
Gotcha.
Hey.
So that is, I think this is where I leave you.
Thank you very much, thank you very much, Grognak.
Grognak, and yes.
Are there any tips for navigating this?
Just keep going straight, and you will come across the camp in 5 minutes.
Alright.
Okay, thank you for all the help.
Of course. Have a bully good chance of getting out now.
I just start, I turn around, walk away.
I'm like turning the other way, walking away. I'm like, under my breath, I don't like that he just said chance.
So as you start.
This place, we almost got murdered by a bookshelf.
So you start walking towards the staircase, and it kind of forms a flat wall where it's like, it's the stairs go up about 4 feet, and it's just a flat wall. But you find, as you walk up the first set of stairs, your gravity seems to shift along with the axis of your body, so now you're walking directly upwards.
And I just don't even flinch. I'm just like, I just start walking.
As this is happening,
I don't even pay mind to it.
As this is happening, I look at Craig's character. Oh, dang it. You know what I just realized, Craig?
He looks very nauseous.
Yeah. Oh, are you okay? You look like...
What the hell just happened? Like I think I'm laying on the ceiling.
It's more the wall.
What is up?
My context clues tell me that gravity has changed.
That's a good one right there.
You just see Taylor place his hand on Norik's shoulder. Something tells me you're right.
Oh, I'm just going to pretend like I'm dreaming this whole time. I think that's going to help.
Anyways,
that probably will.
Back to what I was saying, Craig. You know what I wish I would have asked Grobnak before he walked away?
What's that?
I don't know why, but ever since I left the hospital, I've had this craving, this hunger, right? For that ketamine stuff that they gave me. You know, once we get out, I hope I can get my hands on some.
You do realize your leg isn't broken anymore, right?
Oh, you are.
Taylor just. You just hear Taylor interject. That's pretty normal for drug addictions.
I don't think I'm an addict.
See, he's even doing all the addict lines.
Dude.
All right, someone help me up and let's get going.
Another one.
I go and extend a hand to Craig.
I hesitate and grab your hand.
So you... Taylor just walks up next to you, pinches you. See? You're not dreaming.
That didn't help.
Then walks on. So as you continue to walk through these arched... It's back to that whole limestone architecture style. That last little area you've been walking through is a lot of wood. But it's back to limestone or whatever stone the walls are made of.
Okay.
And you come to this large space. It's probably about 40 feet each way. And it seems to have a large wall of bookshelves set up in front of it. But it's like, you know, like how... I don't know if you've seen the scene in Les Miserables where they've stacked all the furniture up in the road and it's like a makeshift barricade you'd have to walk over.
I can imagine it.
It's kind of like that. So that you see what look like bookshelves and chairs and desks, and then you see what looks like a lamp. It's called a candelabra. And you see a few of those actually jutting out like spines.
Immediately I like button hook, take a wall, my rifle's out, and I'm just looking for someone to shoot now.
So,
what?
As you're looking up, you see what look like three or four men in heavy military garb standing at the top of
the
wall.
Yeah, rifle aimed at them now.
You see the rifles get aimed, their rifles get aimed right back at you. Desist!
I'm, like, coming from back, I'm like, waving, I'm like, hey!
I'd like to try to identify them.
Alright, roll... an occult roll.
Ooh.
This is gonna take a minus two penalty. So, tell me what you have that. So, Craig, as you're doing it, you see a rifle gets jutted over to you. Not Craig, sorry. As you're coming around, Riker, rifle gets jutted over to you.
11 points.
I'm just doing like a really friendly wave. I'm just like, "Where's the door at?"
So I need to hear your
11.6.
Craig, less than a clue who these guys are. They seem to be dressed like American SWAT officers, though.
U.S. military on official business.
Hands in the air.
I put my hands up and I say, forgive me, but this doesn't seem like standard protocol. And actually, looking at y'all, your outfits don't match.
New gun is pointed directly at you. This is the third guy.
Look, we all have ID and we have a reason to be here. This could become a fucking 6 hour situation at whatever police station you guys just came from.
You see the third officer walk down the barricade primarily? Identification.
I show my badge.
As he asks for this, I look at him. Can I put my hands down to grab my badge? You told me to put my hands up.
Nope. I'm asking where your identification is.
Oh, shit. It was in my lab coat, and my lab coat is, well,
Yeah, mind him, he got his crap stolen. I am gonna lower my gun at this point. I assume they're SWAT, so... Assuming they don't make any sudden movements against me, I'll reach for my ID with my gun down.
Yeah. The other guy, the one who's walked up to you, I'll grab it. Where is it?
On the inside pocket of my jacket. I kind of like... Without moving my hands, I guess, trying down. To like finagle through the layers...
Fine, I'll take it. Just keep your hands exposed. He reaches into your coat, licks out the wallet.
So, why are you guys here?
Official business.
SWAT are down in an excavation site.
Official business.
Did our leader send you down here due to our incompetence?
Norik, shut up.
So, you see he's moving between each of you. He starts with you, Husky, then he moves on to Taylor, steps forward. Kind of gestures towards his wrist. You see his wallet get wicked out of his wrist pocket. Out of a wrist pocket. Which does explain a few disappearing accidents that he may or may not have pulled.
Somebody else's wallet comes
and
up.
And it's... Yes. You just see it's like... two wallets pop out. You hear him just go, top one. Guard opens up, pulls out the wallet, looks at it, looks at him. Armin. Kind of just pats his sleeve back in place after putting the wallets away. Come on over. And they start... A rope's tossed down to help scale this thing a bit quicker.
I'm assuming we don't need to make rolls?
No rolls. Okay. So you scale over this wall into one of the oddest ghetto encampments you've ever seen. It looks like a mixture of tech from the 60s, tech from the modern day, and 1400s era library equipment. Benches are scattered facing upwards, protecting against... This looks to be one of those main commons where it's an intersect of two hallways.
Okay.
And it's about 80 feet tall with sprawling glass windows above you. The roof is made of a green tiled material while the walls are made of rough hewn limestone chunks. And scattered around you see about 30 to 40 people.
At this point,
so
groupings.
Go ahead.
At this point, do they still have us holding our hands up?
No, you've been relinquished from that.
Okay.
As you're looking around, though, I'll continue with. You seem to be gestured over, but the guards seem to be gesturing you to head over to the opponent in the center.
I'd be looking for some sort of commander.
Roll an investigate roll.
And I'd like to ask whoever was the one leading us. So, how long have you guys been here? Because I'm seeing a lot of different era of technology around here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the way out?
Yep.
Okay. Well.
Trying to get you out now. If you can just follow orders, we'll get you out in about 15.
We're military.
I assume that'd be research.
That's what we do.
investigate. Above law and politics, or below identify taste
we've
slash...
We've this, I have an old sheet, yeah.
So, as,
Then I guess, yeah.
I found it. I had write it in.
As we're walking, I look at the guy who's leading us. You... I know that this is very unlikely, but have you seen a messy white lab coat anywhere?
Nope.
Well, it was worth a shot, damn it.
So, I got a 13.4.
No one seems to be parking out as especially in charge.
May I pry, what organization are you on official business for?
Local force.
Another SWAT. I have no idea what they're doing, since
yeah,
they generally work 911 calls and barricaded shooters, but...
Maybe.
So you're led over to a small tented outcropping. It's odd that they have it tented because the area is... does not seem to have a natural climate of any type. But you're led into this
privacy.
Small tent. It's like, no, it's not even a privacy tent. It's literally a canopy.
It works.
So you step in to this little tent. It's got what looks to be sandbags surrounding it and two tables on the inside and a large metal hatch in the floor. Inside there are three or four men. Two of them are wearing heavy-duty chemical suits, it looks like. And they're holding spraying nozzles. And the other two are getting hosed down.
Are you chasing someone down here?
At which point... you see as soon as... you are ignored. And then you see as soon as they get finished hosing down, the trapdoor is lifted open, the two hop in, and it's immediately shut. All right, step into the chemical showers.
I do that.
If I may ask, what are these chemicals?
Cleaning agents.
They're to get the rest of the chemicals off you.
I'm covered in chemicals? Well, I guess that one did jab me with that needle.
Please, stop.
Maybe you're right.
Needle.
Please?
Yes.
Norik, stop.
No.
We're working on different projects. We're on different operations.
No, what? I'm gonna need a solid answer here, dude.
You're going to need to establish authority first. We're working with the U.S. military on
it's
a classified operation.
It's not that big of an issue. He fell on something, hurt his leg.
Yes,
it was a bookshelf down the staircase, down the hall, collapsed, and tripped on and fell on his face.
Acting slash lie.
Okay, I'm assuming it's charisma.
Yes, charisma.
Crit, goddamn it. Oh my god. Crit again, please. That was not a crit, but that was not that bad. 17 plus, where's the lie again? Is that under... was that under knowledges or... no, there it is.
Acting slash lie is under skills.
18.5.
You just hear him go, try again.
Damn it!
So I guess I look
that
at
that. That wasn't
him.
That bad, though.
I do want to give him a reference point for his mentioning ideas there, though.
So I look at him and I say, well...
cover.
You see, what happened, sir, was I jumped out of a two-story building. Yes, I think it was. And whenever I jumped, I landed, right? But I landed on a chair. And that's why I don't have one of my eyes. I do have an eye patch on, if I believe right. So I lift up the eye patch and show him my missing eye. Like,
it's like one of those medical ones, though, where it's like wrapped to your head.
Oh, then I don't do that. Like, I point at, like, so I woke up, right? And my eye was gone. And there were these nurses, right? And
and the nurse, they pointed at my legs, and they told me that my legs were broken, and that I wouldn't be able to walk for months, right? And
I lean over to Craig, yep. And I'm like, if we let him talk, he might just talk himself out of this.
I lean over as well. Did just heal a broken leg in about 12 hours.
You do see the two of the three guards lean to each other, and you might slightly overhear the line, don't know if this guy can see quite right. Don't know how he'd heal a leg that fast.
I would try to eavesdrop on anything I say.
He never talked about how badly his legs were broken. I mean, he didn't heal his
He
eye,
did just say he so wouldn't be able to walk
If his legs would
months.
Heal, you'd think his...
How would he have... I do need to hear how did you hear your legs, sir.
Here, let me continue what I'm telling you, and I'll get to
hey,
that.
Hey, okay, actually, so, Norik, please stop. We will tell you, but first, I need to know that we're... This is all being done above board. You apprehended us on our official business and have not given us any information, established zero authority, and for all I know, you're some SWAT officers on a barricaded shooter down here. That gives you no right to do this.
Let me guess, you're working a regional mission out of Westford, Massachusetts, trying to identify cult actions in the region, right?
I think they were called, weren't they called the Judge of the
Broken
Please,
Broke Norik, don't talk until I tell you to. And if you do, don't talk about what we've done for the past week. Okay?
So you're in the recent grouping. Interesting, so you're not part of the Pathfinder squads. Surveillance, I bet.
You know, all I'm asking is a little bit of reassurance here.
So you got in, alright. So you entered via the entry point, probably next to the library. Under the library, actually. Just board that thing up, too.
I'm sorry, what are you asking?
No, I'm not asking anything, I'm stating.
You're stating that we went into the... Here's my understanding. Okay, so after I'd broken my leg, this man, and I point to Duke, he carried me, right? And so he picked me up and he was carrying me. And we eventually got to this, I think it was this hole in the ground or something. I can't quite remember. I was in pain.
In front of the J.D. Fletcher Library, I assume? He looks over at Riker.
What happened was this man, I point at Taylor, he wrapped something on my legs, right? And I could walk again. So I think the nurse was lying. In fact, I don't feel that numb anymore. That nurse, I can't believe her lying to me. How rude of her. Anyways. So we get down into this little area, and I assume that Taylor at the time was some kind of guide, because I had no clue where we were, right? And so he's leading us around, he's getting on to me, he's like, no, I'm not a tour guide, I am working with you, obviously. Like, I've never seen this man in my life, but, you know, I went along with it because he seems like he knows some things, and... You know, we could probably use someone with some smarts helping us on our investigation, because, you know, with this god of broken church or something like that, we could use all the help we could get, of course. That's what was going through my head. So, we keep going down, and eventually, you wouldn't believe this, but this book, right? It just flew out of nowhere. And,
okay, Norik, before you continue, can I ask one question? Are you with Taylor's group?
Yeah. Me?
No, not you, Norik. Mm. And I, like, pointed the man Norik was just talking to. Are you affiliated with Taylor's group?
No, love it. He can keep going. I'm finished.
Again, okay, well, I am trying to protect our interests. Please work with me here.
he just kind of looks at Norik. Keep going.
Put my hand over Norik's mouth.
You see him turn over to Taylor. Alright, can you finish the statement for him? So you see Taylor at this point. So following the point of entry. In,
I just throw my arms up in the air. I'm done.
do you want me to finish
You see
now?
Taylor just stop. Yeah, no. The officer just turns back to you. Now it has. Now your mouth is uncovered. Please finish your statement.
Of course. So this book, it came down, right? And I'm pretty sure that from what he told me, it bit him, right? And this is probably crazy for the average person. You see, I work for the unusual incidents unit. So
the UIU, yes, yeah, we know of them.
So this is something I see, like, you know, every Tuesday, right? But, you know, I was worried for him because I've seen people go crazy over things like this. So I'm shaken. I'm worried someone's going to go mad and snap or something because, you know, that just happens sometimes. But no, we handled it just fine, and we kept walking. And eventually we came across this group of people, right? But they weren't, like, normal people. They had one...
You're talking the librarian Cyclops people from around here, right?
Well, yes. I think that Cyclops is a little bit, not the right term to use, but I guess that...
They have one eye in the center of their head. They're a Cyclops.
Well, I suppose. Anyways, so I was talking to one of them, right? His name was... Let me see, yes. He was going by the name of, let's see here. Yes, it was Zorfu. His name was Zorfu. And I was talking to him, and I was telling him, you know, it was hard for me to walk with whatever Mr. Taylor had wrapped around my leg. Because it felt numb. I could barely walk right. And Mr. Zorfu, he walked up to me, and he impaled my leg. But get this, right? The numbing went away. And I could walk like nothing happened. So what I got from the moral of the story is, firstly, the nurse lied to me. And secondly, Taylor, I think he's an accomplice to that. I think he numbed my legs just to pull some kind of wool over my eyes.
Sorry, I just, for that, I'm hitting it a lot tonight. Take a reference.
Poor sweet Norik.
Oh, sweet summer child. So you see the guard at this point pulls something off of his torso. End of statement, recorded direct from subject. In location of interest, 4851, recording 52-18. Thank you for your statement.
Oh,
drops the thing in the side pouch.
I probably finished my shower by now, my chemical shower stuff.
Yeah, you've just been going at it the entire time. You see this officer exit the area as soon as this is finished. And, Husky, roll a perception check.
Yes, please.
Don't know if you have that for me, that'd be great.
Sadly, only in 11.
So...
Only in 11.
Only at 11, alright. So you hear from maybe 15 feet away, "Hey, yo, Rodriguez! We got a guy for the UIU in here!"
And Craig suddenly, like, one, looks a lot more relieved, and two, is just facepalming and, like, it's a mix of, like, he just kind of collapses. It's like exasperation, but relief. It's like, God, I have more Norix to deal with.
At this point, you're all getting gestured into the chemical showers and getting doused.
Am I hopping down the chute already? I'm just like, I'm ready to go.
Nah, they've had you standing outside at the edge of the chute. They do as we have Craig is in a pile on the floor. He's just kind of lifted up, set in the shower. Very sadly hosed down by this fluid. You're sopping wet in this little kiddie pool.
Man is just broken at the moment.
Lifted back up, set at the edge of the hole.
Gun put in his hand.
No, it's not it. I kind of just set it down in front of you.
We just have to just like kick you down the chute.
Kick the gun down with me.
You just see Taylor Taylor just calmly takes his shower. Sop, you're all sopping wet by the end of this. The porthole's opened and you're just... All of them until it's just Taylor and you are left at the surface. Taylor just kind of shoves you.
God, I hate my... God, I hate my job.
After 15 to 20 seconds... So you fall for about 15 to 20 seconds where the speed is progressively increasing. Then going directly upwards, you are... Well, directly straight, you are thrown out of a wall horizontally.
Craig is panicking and flailing.
You are tossed into a brightly lit room with the rest of your cohorts, kind of covering their eyes. You see just Taylor lands feet first and next to you.
Craig keeps his composure for about 10 seconds, after which he thinks he's about to die. So he just panics.
Alright. And at this point, as you're all being let out of whatever strange situation you've gotten yourselves in now, I think it's a perfect time to call this episode of the SCP Black Files to a close. Thank you all for listening to episode 13 of the SCP Black Files podcast. We are produced under a CC BY SA 4.0 license. Please don't forget to like and share this episode of the podcast. We are on Apple Music now. Check out the game itself at DriveThruRPG and now on Amazon under the title of the SCP Tabletop RPG. Thank you for listening. Good night.